In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The sermon text is the gospel lesson just read, especially the following selected verses. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. Thus far, text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder how many are concerned about this condition known as acluophobia. It plagues millions of people around the world, and it especially attacks children. It festers at night, and it leaves its victims in terrible fear and sometimes even panic. Acluophobia is a fear of the dark. Many people can relate to being scared of the dark. But of course, it's not the darkness itself that people are afraid of. What people are afraid of is the unknown, what could be lurking in the darkness. What's frightening is that there's something out there that you don't know about, something that you can't see, something that might harm you. The metaphor of light and dark is used in nearly every culture. It's one that is used for good and evil, happy and sad, the known and the unknown. So it's no surprise that this metaphor would be employed by the writers of Holy Scripture, that the Bible frequently uses the terms of light and dark, and especially in the Gospel according to St. John. And the whole point in John's Gospel is that Jesus is the light. Jesus is the one and only light that enlightens our world of darkness. This world that is darkened because of sin and death. Now, when we talk about this world of sin, there's really two ways that we mean that. First, we mean that this world is stricken by sin. That is, ever since Adam and Eve sinned against God by disobeying him in the Garden of Eden, this world has never been the same. It's a world where there once was no death and no sickness at all. It was a world that had no disease, but as it happened, Adam and Eve sinned against God, and it introduced disasters, tears, sickness, and death. And now, with the coming of sin and death, there is all this disease. You see, you can't have one without the other. You can't have sin without the sickness and death that it brings. It's not like ordering a cheeseburger, hold the pickles. I had a professor in college that always liked to say that you don't sin in a vacuum. And that means that when you commit sin, it has a tendency to hurt those around you. Because God has placed us in various stations in life for the purpose of serving our neighbor. And when you sin, it harms those whom you are called to serve. And that brings us to the second meaning of the world of sin. The first one meant this world of sin, which is stricken by the effects of Adam and Eve's disobedience. But the second one refers to the specific transgressions and disobedience. You see, we are not just victims of the fall. We are also at the same time willing participators of sin. That our flesh wants to do everything that is contrary to the law of God. Once our flesh hears God say, "Thou shalt not," our flesh immediately says, "I shall." It's like telling a child not to press that red button. Well, now the child wants only to touch the red button because it heard you say not to. And that is how our flesh is to the law of God. I did not know what coveting was until the law said, you shall not covet. So we live in this world of sin, this world of darkness. And the main point that the Gospel of John brings out is that Jesus is the one and only light. Now, we live in an age where electricity runs to almost every building, and the average room has 3 light switches in it. I think the meaning of darkness is a bit lost. We set our lights to come on automatically, or as soon as there's motion sensed in the driveway, lights automatically come on. But think of what it would be like to live in a world where there is no artificial light. That the only light there is the sun, and when the sun goes down, whatever candles or campfires you may light. This helps us have a little context to understand that Jesus is our only light. Contrary to a world that says every spiritual reality is true. A world that would tell you that there's a certain force out there, and whether you want to call that spiritual force Jesus or Buddha or the Force, it doesn't really matter what you call it. It's all expressions of the same thing. That is wrong. Because Jesus is the Son of God, the second person of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And this is the God who created the heavens and the earth, and there are no other gods. And Jesus said that no one comes to the Father except by me. And this means that Jesus is the one and only light. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have the light. If you don't have Jesus, you are sitting in the darkness of this world. And this is the thing. Jesus, who is the light of the world, comes that everyone might come out of darkness, but there are those who prefer darkness. Notice here what John 1:9 says. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The true light that enlightens everyone. It doesn't say that this light is only for those who are good, or that this light is only for certain people, but that this light shines on everyone. But take that with the next verse. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. Well, this light of Christ is for all, to bring all out of darkness. Some prefer to stay in darkness. Well, no one can bring themselves out of darkness, because if you're in the darkness, you're dependent upon the light to shine on you. Once the light shines, it is possible to remove yourself from that light, to find darkness and stay there. Now, no one can save themselves. No one can fix their own lives. No one can be good enough to merit heaven. The only way we can have salvation is by the works of Jesus and by the faith bestowed by the Holy Spirit. Salvation is God's work. God brings men to the light. But there are many people who love darkness so much that they would rather turn away from this light. They don't want to confess certain sins in the light that would expose it. They prefer to keep doing things their own way rather than to confess their way is wrong. And this is where we meet John the Baptist. Our text says that John came to bear witness about the light. Why? The text says that all might believe through him. John's entire witness, his entire confession, is all about those in darkness coming to the light by believing in Jesus. And if you know anything about John the Baptist, he never pulled any punches when it came to calling sinners to repentance. It could be said this way, that John the Baptist's entire preaching was only about pointing fingers. At all times, John is either pointing his finger at sinners and calling them to repentance, or he was pointing his finger at Christ for their answer in sin. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. John was only about law and gospel, showing sinners their sin and showing sinners their Savior. And this, dear saints, is the task of the church still today. Though pastors have progressed in their attire a bit from John the Baptist, their preaching is the same. It is a finger-pointing business to point to your sin and to point to your Savior. It's a pastor's job to show you from God's word that you sin and that you must repent. It is also a pastor's job to show you from God's word that you are forgiven of all of your sins. Now, it may seem counterintuitive, but spiritual growth comes more by an honest look at your sinful nature. Now, it seems like it should be the other way around. It seems like if you're growing spiritually, it should be marked by sinning less and less. I'm overcoming sin. Now, you may overcome particular vices or sins, but that doesn't mean that you're any less of a sinner. You see, God can work in two categories. One is either a sinner or one is holy and blameless. And the reality is that the more you learn of your sinful nature, the more you flee to Christ for your holiness. And so you learn and grow in God's word, and you realize that the times that I should have acted but didn't act, not only was I sinning by the things that I did, but I was committing sins of omission. So you confess that I should have acted when I didn't, and you cling to Christ and his promises and his forgiveness for you, and you grow more in his word. You learn that not only do I sin by things of my actions, but I also sin by my thoughts. And you realize these thoughts are things you shouldn't think, and they're sinful. And so you cling to Christ and his promises. And the more you realize you sin, the more you realize his grace abounds. That as you study the scripture, the more depth you find in Christ, the more mercy, the more compassion, the more forgiveness. And that is true of spiritual growth, relying upon Christ's forgiveness all the more, because as you begin to realize Christ's atonement covers all of your sins, you realize that his forgiveness covers each and every single sin. Sins of commission, sins of omission. Christ's atonement covers for sins of even those thoughts that you thought and you shouldn't have. For behold, Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He is the light in a world of darkness. Believe in him, John says, while you have the light. Believe the light that you may become sons of light. And so, dear saints, we need not fear the dark. Though this world is dark with sin and death, you are sons of light. You are sons of God. God has made you his sons in this water of holy baptism. That is where he has given you his holiness and his perfection, and it is yours by his promise. So the only question left for us to ask, that when he baptized you in his name and gave you his righteousness and his holiness, did he lie? And the answer is no. You are holy, you are righteous, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus, amen. And may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.